John chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip say unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that have seen me have seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Amen. 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 Precious Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for being such a clear path. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Father God, for quickening us, giving us a desire to understand, giving us a desire to want to understand, and giving us a desire to want to be with you, to want to know the way, to want to know the truth, and to want to know what life is really all about. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Last week we talked about Jesus being the way. He said, I am the way, the only way. Man has come up with a lot of ways. A lot of ways to get around Jesus. Jesus said, there's no getting around me. Amen. One man even went and asked Peter. Said, Peter, how do we get to heaven? And Peter said in Acts 4:12, he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I'm the way. Peter said, I'm the way. And Peter in 3:18 says this when he's talking to his followers and who were going through, who were struggling. Peter said in 3:18, he said, for Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Why? That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Jesus said, I am the way. But then he says, I am the truth. He not only said, I am the way, the only way, but he said, I am truth. Pilate had Jesus getting ready to scourge him, trying to set him free, doing everything he could to let Jesus off. Had him in judgment hall. And in John chapter Uh-oh. Didn't write the chapter down. I got the verse. We get it? Leave us 14. He says this. Pilate answered. Or Jesus answered, thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee of me? Pilate asked Jesus who he was. And Pilate answered, I am a Jew, thy own nation, and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? What hast thou done? What has Jesus done? And Pilate, and Jesus answered, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence or not from here. And Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. Remember, he was born, what? King. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth, hear my voice. And Pilate said unto him, these wonderful words, what is truth? What is truth? Well, we have to ask ourselves that question. What is true? When you think about truth, what do you think about? Something that's real. Something that's genuine. Something that's not concealed. Something that's not hidden. What is truth? Integrity. Sincerity. Jesus said, I'm all that. For someone who don't believe. Truth is unreasonable. They will combat you. People will fight truth. Error will always fight truth. Error will always try to prove truth wrong. One verse in the Bible said, for the preaching of the cross is truth. But the preaching of the cross is what? Foolishness to those that are perishing. How is Jesus true? Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But how is Jesus truth? You ever thought about that? What makes Jesus truth? For one thing, he's real. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a God that's alive. Y'all hear me always get in trouble with Isaiah 53, and I would say, you know, Jesus was a man of sorrows. I said that for years, and I caught myself about a month ago in Wednesday night Bible study. The Bible, the text says, Jesus, he says, he is a man of sorrow. Not was, he is a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Amen. He's alive. Amen. He understands what we're going through. Jesus understands right now what Sister Toy and her family is going through. Jesus understands right now what many of us, if not all of us, are going through. And many of us are going through. He understands the pain that Claire's going through. He understands the hurt that Ann is going through as she deals with her situation with her child. He understands. Because he's God, he's real. Nothing he is, he's knowable. That's what it says. He's knowable. Anybody, is that a word? Yeah. Knowable? Let me give you a verse. To get to know him, makes him knowable. Look at this verse in John chapter 8. Watch this now. Jesus is going to proclaim that he is not only real, but he's knowable. In John 8:31, it says, and then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Which believed on him. These were believing Jews. Ye shall continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. We sort of went over this morning. When Jesus said continue in my word, he said continue in his word. That's not a suggestion. He's not saying if things go bad, you have a reason to waver. If you're going through a little trials and tribulation, you can back off. He said, continue in my word. Come what may. Good times and bad. Stay in my word. It's good to see sister in the house. Continue in my word. Then are ye my disciples indeed. What's he saying? Real disciples continue in his word. Will disciples understand that many are the afflictions of the righteous? All who desire to live godly in Christ shall suffer. But true disciples do what? They continue in his word. And they go to his word for what? For comfort. They go to his word for wisdom. They go to his word for strength. They go to his word in times of need. And they don't go to his word when they need mercy. They go to his word when they need grace. They go to his word when they need truth. And somebody tell you something? And this is what God says? Then you go to the word, make sure what they said lines up with God's word. Jesus says, and ye shall know the truth. We're know in that sense means you ought to be intimate with the truth. You ought to have a relationship with truth. Because Jesus is truth. He's truth. And so we have a relationship with Jesus. We ought to have a relationship with truth. And look at the rest of this verse. Because when you have a relationship with truth, when you have a relationship with the word of God, you have a relationship with God. Because the word, what? Became flesh. And the Bible says, in it dwell among us. So you shall know the truth. Still, that's not a suggestion. He said, you shall know the truth. If you're a disciple, God has given and put in your heart a desire for truth. And if you don't have a desire for truth, you have a right to question God. God, you called me, you saved me, but I don't have a desire for truth. Because you said in your word, you shall know the truth. And how you know the truth is how you know anybody. You got to spend time with them. How'd you get to know your children? Holding them, and cuddling them, and talking to them, and playing with them, and laughing with them. You got to get to know Jesus like that. Because some of the stuff in the Bible is funny. Some of it is. I laugh at some of it. Some of it makes me cry. Some of it troubles me. Some of it convicts me. Some of it confronts me. Some of it condemns me. That's what it means. The truth shall. That's what it say? Y'all with me? Feel like I got Deacon Nelm still here. The truth shall make you free. That's a pretty dogmatic statement. How many need to be made free? You ain't gonna be made. The world won't make you free. The world gonna convict you. The world gonna keep you in bondage. The world gonna keep you in pain. The world gonna keep you suffering because you don't even know how to deal with trials and tribulations and adversity because it's coming. And if you don't have a relationship with the truth, you're gonna struggle. How many people know that we live in a world of hopelessness? Suicide rate among African Americans is sky high. Makes no sense. You got mega churches all over the world. All over. And folks is just going through. Why? Because everything big ain't healthy. Everything big ain't healthy. Swollen. Okay? You go to the doctor and you got a mole, and 6 months later you go to the doctor and the doctor says, well, that mole is 3 times the size it used to be. You're not going to be happy. Same with a tumor. So everything big ain't good, because sometimes to get big, you have to deny the truth. Sometimes truth shrinks things. Truth will shrink your circle of friends. And you start bringing truth to the equation, truth to the conversation. Folks don't want to hear truth. Go on with that gospel, man. Go on with that preaching, man. That's, I used to, my buddies, my little buddies, I used to run with my little circle of friends. I mean, listen, I do church on Sunday. You couldn't talk to them on Monday or Tuesday on the golf course. I'm out here to have a good time. I don't talk about that. That's for Sunday. Truth. Truth is knowable. Truth is real. Truth frees you. Truth strengthens you. Truth gives you discernment. Truth gives you spiritual eyes when you can look at a situation spiritually instead of carnally, instead of worldly. When you got truth, you look at things different. How many of us in here would raise both hands and say, before I was saving, we understand. We understand, John, that blind man, I mean, he was really blind, but it's a picture of us. He said, now, I was blind, but no, I see. How many look at life different now as you grow in the word and you grow in godliness and you grow in your relationship and your knowledge of Jesus, you see things different. Different. Our world is changed because when we came up, many of us in the 60s and the 70s, church wasn't an option. 4 o'clock service, church, Sunday school, 4 o'clock service, it wasn't an option. Wednesday night wasn't an option. Okay? Wasn't sending church plan. Serious business. Things change. Bible says in Proverbs 3, he said, my son, talking about truth, forget not my law, or forget not my truth. But let thy heart keep my commandments. See, when we live in the day and age now, kids say, I don't want to go to church. Kids don't go to church. We let them stay home, play Madden. Watch this now. Let not thy heart, he said, but let thy heart keep my commandments. Why? For length of days and long life. And here we go. And peace. How many needs a peace?
Amen.
I talk about the prison. Y'all hear me talk about them boys out there. They ain't got no peace. Why? Because they don't have no hope. Why? Because they don't have no relationship with God. Why? Because we live in a godless world. And the Bible said we who have escaped. How many know that? How many ever watched a prison movie and watched people escape? They don't look back, do they? Amen. Man, you escape from something, you ain't looking back. But what happens when you get caught up in that? And you get caught up in that. You get caught up in that lifestyle. It's hard to get out. And somebody come and try to preach the gospel to you. How many remember the days when we was unsaved, somebody tried to preach the gospel to them? We don't want to hear. Foolishness, get out here with that. Listen. The Bible says in verse 3 of that Proverbs, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Let me say that again. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Just hold on tight. Bible says in Hebrews 2:1, let a man take more earnest heed, lest you also slip away. God ain't slipping away. We move from God. And it's gradual. It's a gradual move. We get further and further from God. And a lot of times you don't even know you really moving. Then it said, bind them around thy neck. Now, I love seeing pictures of these young brothers, 8, 9 gold chains. And I spiritualize everything. I'm like, look, brother got 8, 9 gold chains, big old crosses. And now I'm reminded of Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And it said, bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. What's the purpose of that? So when you talk and when you walk, the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you got the scriptures and the truth bound around your neck and written upon your heart, you're going to talk different. You're going to evaluate things different. You're going to be a different person. You walking around with grace and mercy and truth around your neck and the word of God written on your heart. Listen. Listen. Jesus had to preach it. He commanded his disciples and apostles to preach it. He says, preach it. See, we don't want to hear it. We want to water down, compromise message. The Bible said we gotta preach it. The only way you're gonna be purified and sanctified and consecrated and made holy and prepared to meet the Lord is you gotta hear it. You gotta hear the word of God. Let me give you a verse. Jesus in John 17, he's talking to his disciples and he's talking to God. He's praying for his disciples. He said, God, listen. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know, I want to hear truth. I don't want that problem. You came to church with a pocket full of tomatoes. Preacher started here. I get up here and start clowning around. And you know, now I said this. Listen, I said, James Brown was called to do just what he was supposed to do. Okay? Preachers weren't called to be James Brown. James Brown was called to be James Brown. Okay? And he was a great entertainer, doing splits and everything. But you guys have to demand truth. And when you talk to your friends that's going to church, you say, did your pastor, what did he preach on? Did he preach truth? Because see, the word of God says, sanctify them. That word sanctify means consecrate them, purify them. Oh, you are approved when you hear the word of God. You ought to feel better when you leave church. You heard the word of God. You ought to feel strong. The word of God is designed to strengthen you and give you strength to deal with whatever comes that way. And let me tell you something. Stuff coming. You got some stuff coming. Okay? And the only way you can prepare for it is what? To be sanctified. Now, I'm not talking about not wearing lipstick. I'm not talking about wearing blue jean dresses. I'm not talking about that. That's not sanctified. See, sanctified is not that. Pentecostals, they do that. Sanctified means you are blessed. You are consecrated. You are set apart. You have dedicated your life to what? Serving God. Serving God. You know what? Truth gonna cost you something. Truth gonna cost you something. You say, well, Pastor, I wanna walk in truth. Let me tell you something, folks. It's gonna cost you something. Jesus preached, and every preacher that preaches the truth, he's not popular. See, we got popular preachers, mega preachers and mega star preachers. Let me tell you something. Ain't nothing popular about preaching truth because the fallen world don't want to hear it. Jesus preached truth. Watch what he says in John 8. Same verse. Jesus preached truth. He said, but now you seek to kill me? A man that have told you the truth. That's what Jesus did. Why do you think he wanted to kill him? Because he told him the truth. He says, which I have heard of God. Jesus was the truth. And he preached it. He preached it. Paul preached the truth to the Galatians and they got offended by him. They were upset with him. And Paul would write this in Galatians 4 and 16. I had one of my favorite verses. Am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. You can get enemies. Tell them the truth. You ought not be shacking up with that brother talking and calling yourself a Christian. You ought not be smoking weed and calling yourself a Christian. Who are you? You ought not be drinking and cussing and gambling and fornicating and calling yourself a Christian. Now you start talking truth. I ain't told a lie. Because the truth told me that. The truth said, hey man, if you gonna call yourself Christian, you need to. See, that ain't a mega church message. Folks be shutting them Bible, leaving it. I ain't coming here to hear that. people will attack the truth. Listen, watch Paul. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. Y'all know this one. Probably highlighted in your Bible. It's the first Corinthians 2:1. Watch verse 3, and I'll tell you verse 3 coming up. Paul said, "And brother, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech and of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." What did Paul do? He declared the testimony of God. What is the testimony of God? John 3:16. I'm so glad. He came declaring that you need to believe in Jesus. That's it. He said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ, the truth, and him crucified." Now watch verse 3. Because he knew that wasn't a popular message. And he wasn't going to be running around doing cartwheels on this one. And Paul said, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Why? Because they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear that. What if you try to get people prepared to meet the Lord? See, that's the job of the man of God, is to prepare his people to meet the Lord. They're coming today. Well, you got to stand before God. And Paul said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. I wasn't smooth, slick, willy. I wasn't none of that." Okay? He said, "My words and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." Okay? "But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Watch this. Why, Paul? Why did you preach that way? Because this was important. This was so important to Paul. This was so important to Paul because he knew his time was short. He said, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God, or in truth. That in truth. Why was that so important to Paul? Y'all heard me say this so many times. Sound like a broken record, but I'm going to keep being a broken record. Paul said, "Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man." Why? Because that kind of faith God rejects. Amen. That's the kind of faith God rejects. And the Bible says, without faith, without the right kind of faith, no man should. Somebody finish that for me. No man should see the Lord. Without the right kind of faith. God says the truth. The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. And it's not hard to find. It's everywhere you look, you see truth. This country, people say, "Oh, this country is bad. This country. It ain't hard to find truth. How do I know that? Because I know what the Word of God says. And the Word of God is truth. So if you're looking for truth, you don't look in the White House. Don't look in the Congress. Don't look in the Senate. Don't look in the police department. Look in God's Word and you will find truth. Watch what Psalm says in Psalms 86:15. "But thou, O Lord, art full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering." Watch this now. "And plenteous in mercy and truth." I like that. Plenteous in mercy and truth. And you can open the Bible and you won't find a lie in it. Amen. You won't find a lie in it. And you find a lie in it, it ain't worth 2 cents if you find a lie in it. Why? Because Bible, how did these Bible verses, they just jump at me. God is not a man. Margaret got it. God is not a man. I'm a man. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. What God needs to repent about? Come on. Okay. All right. Listen. The church, when somebody ran past up this street, they'd be going so fast sometimes they probably don't even know this church back here. When they see a church, what do you think about? What should you think about? That's a place where truth should be found. That's what you should think about. When you ride by a church, you should say, there's a place where truth should be found. And if you got a question, you ought to be able to go into a church and say, "Pastor, where is this found in the Bible? How should I do this? This is why you hear preachers with degrees in biblical counseling. What's the word of God say about this? Paul called the church. He called the church the pillar and ground of the truth. You know how I look at that? The pillar and ground of what Jesus Christ is all about. You know, Jesus Christ died for the church. This is why I take it so serious. And I see churches clowning and having carnivals and all this entertainment. I'm saying this is supposed to be a serious place. This ain't a place where you come and clown. Okay, we might eat some meatball sliders after service, but this is a serious time. Amen. You preparing your people to hearts and minds to deal with stuff. I'm praying right now for my sister who's going through that, because she's set on the word of God, that she's heard it preached and heard it prayed and heard it sang, that she's stronger. Still hurting, but stronger because got some word in her.
Amen.
Paul talking to the church, and this is serious. In Ephesians 5:25, in the first part of it, I'm just going to read it. Husbands, Jeremy and Roy, and Jake, especially Jake. Husbands, love your wives. Stop it. That's a command. That's not a suggestion. Well, you know, she done gained some weight. She mean now. She don't give me. She changed. All she do is. What's that got to do with the text? What's that got to do with the text?
Amen.
Say it, Deacon Jeremy. Nothing. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. What's Paul talking about? Jesus Christ gave his life for the church. Peter, Jesus was asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Some say thou Jeremiah, some say thou a prophet. Okay. He must talk to the Muslim folks. Hey, he's just a prophet and he's just a regular guy. No. Whom do you say that I am? And Peter couldn't get out front fast enough. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the truth. Thou art the Christ. What? The Son of the living God. That's who he is. He came to die for our sins. He came to shed his blood for the establishment of the church. Paul writing in Timothy, 1 Timothy 3 and 14 and 15, he said, these things write I unto you, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Paul writing to Timothy. Now, listen, Timothy knew Paul ain't coming nowhere shortly. Because everywhere Paul went, he got put in jail. He got beat up. I mean, he might not see Paul. Okay? He said, but if I tarry long, if I'm long in coming, he said, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God. Well, that's a hard sell, wouldn't it be? How many know there's a behavior? That comes with church attendance. Amen. There's a certain way we ought to act in God's house. Amen. There's a certain reverence for the house of God that must be established. He said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behaved ourselves in the house of God. Watch this now. Which is the church of the living God. The pillar and ground of truth. What's a pillar do? Support thing. Hold things up. You put pillars down and it holds up things. What's the pillar and ground of truth? The pillars hold up the truth. The church is designed to hold up the truth. Jesus is the truth. Church, you all not come to church and not hear Jesus lifted up. I was talking to some guys. I said, listen. This superstar rapper died out in California, and Snoop Dogg talked. Okay? And then the preacher came and talked. Wait a minute. Snoop Dogg and the preacher can't say the same things.
Amen.
Okay? See, Snoop Dogg gonna talk about this man in the world, but the preacher, you can't invite a preacher. And he not lift up Jesus. He got to talk about Jesus. He got to talk about salvation. He got to talk about souls. He got to talk about Jesus. He got to talk about Jesus. You can't invite no preacher. Your preacher ain't talking about Jesus. That's a problem. Man, you know, there's big. You can't be a preacher if you ain't talk about Jesus.
Amen.
I hope y'all understand what I'm saying. Jesus was truth. Truth has to be taught. Truth has to be lifted up. Truth has to be pushed and preached constantly. 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 Somebody say he's a fountain of truth. Truth has to be dealt with. Let me say this. Let me speak to myself as a minister, as a preacher. Preaching tough. Preaching tough. Now, people say, well, Pastor, you know, you pretty dogmatic on some of your positions. Let me tell y'all something. I'm going to talk to my people. Because people sit here and say, well, y'all, the reason y'all over there, y'all don't have no women preach. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you why God didn't call women to preach. First of all, God is a God of order. God over man over woman. That should settle it. But God is a God of compassion. Okay? God is a God of compassion. And when he called prophets and apostles, it was a call to die. It was a call to die. When you got called to be a prophet or a prophet or apostle, it was a death call. You were going to die. You were going to die. Because you were called to challenge people, to call people out, to call spade a spade, call sin sin, and people didn't want to hear. And the Bible said they killed all the prophets. Amen. Jesus said they killed all the prophets. All the apostles died. They all got martyred. They all died. And I've told y'all before, they didn't send John to the island of Patmos on a vacation. Okay? They sent him there to die. It was an island full of barbarians, so they sent him there to die. So God, in his compassion and his mercy, knowing it was a death call, he didn't call no women. Now you say, well, Pastor, what's wrong? What happened? See, here's what happened. Preaching has gotten so compromised and so tolerant of every sin. Tolerant of everything. It's not, there's no threat on a preacher's life anymore. A preacher can go anywhere and do anything. He like one of the boys. And then women saying, well, it ain't dangerous to be a preacher no more. I can be a preacher. Let me tell you something. It ought to be dangerous.
Amen.
It ought to be dangerous. It ought to be dangerous today. And preaching ain't dangerous. You know why? Because preachers ain't saying nothing. They're not confronting nothing. They're not calling sin sin. And they're not standing against nothing. So it ain't dangerous. So everybody, come on, man. All the cowards, everybody, I can be a preacher. Let me tell you something. Paul writing to Timothy. Let me give you what Paul said first about preaching. Now let's go share. Because a lot of folks think this is easy. Huh? You know, preaching is exciting. Preaching is glamorous. I want to be a preacher. I want to be a preacher. It's happy. Let me tell you something. You preaching the Word of God. Ain't nothing easy about it. Ain't nothing popular about it. Ain't nothing glamorous about it. Ain't nobody patting you on the back. Paul says this, for I think, 1 Corinthians 4:9, Paul said, for I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as if it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake. I get so hot when I hear these folks call themselves apostles. And it gets me hot. It makes me hot because, listen. Let me keep reading. It explains itself. We are fools for Christ's sake. You gotta be a fool to want to be a preacher. Seriously. Paul said, we are fools for Christ's sake. But ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. In labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we blessed, being persecuted, we suffer. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world. You know what filth of the world is in that day was? All scouring, what they took, garbage and menstrual rags and whatever disease, they took it and they would take it to a place and burn. Paul was comparing himself with that. He said, we are the filth of the world. Tell one of these guys that today that called himself apostle, riding around in Beamers and Lexus caddies. We are the all scouring of things until this day. Paul said, listen, this ain't nothing pretty about this. You gonna preach the truth? Ain't nothing pretty about it. And he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:10, preach the word, Timothy, preach the truth. He says this. He said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Preach it. You know it, Timothy. The mother taught you and your grandmother taught you. He said, you know my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecution, afflictions which came to me at Antioch, in Iconium, and Lystra, what persecution I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Paul said, it ain't nothing easy about this. But you know what? It's lasting. The truth will last forever. Let me say this. I don't care if everybody in here don't believe it's true. Don't make it not true. Everybody in here say, well, I don't believe the word of God. It don't make the word of God not true because you don't believe. Amen. It's still true. If I was the only person left in the world to believe it was true, it would still be true.
Amen.
How do I know that? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Now watch this now. And his truth endureth to all generations. To all generations. You ought to be teaching your kids. You ought to be teaching your kids. You ought to be teaching your children. You ought to be teaching your brothers and your sisters and your cousins. Everybody come around. You ought to be just, God, give me an opportunity. Just give me an opportunity. Remember how them kids used to play jump rope, they got the ropes going, the little girls be dipping, trying to get in there. We all be looking for an opportunity. Give me an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. Give me an opportunity to tell somebody how good God has been to me. Give me an opportunity to tell somebody about this Jesus that saved my soul. Give me an opportunity to tell somebody why I'm so joyful. Why I can have peace in the midst of the storm. When folks say, well, if that was me, I'd be falling apart. I'd be going crazy. Well, listen, you don't know my God.
All right.
You don't know my God.
Amen.
You don't know what he's done for me. And what he's done for me, he's still doing.
Amen.
And the same God that saved you, he's still saving. Amen. He's still saving. He's still in the saving business. Listen, truth. I'm close. Truth must be denied. It wouldn't be true if it wasn't denied. You say, what are you talking about? It started in Genesis. In the Adam and Eve, okay? Adam and Eve, truth has to be denied. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any other beast in the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden. Truth has to be denied. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. In the serpent. Anybody ever talk to a serpent? They ain't all in the garden.
Amen.
Okay? Some of them walking around Walmart. Some of them may live in your own house. Okay? And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Huh? See, truth must be denied but not only by the devil, but you ever deal with some self-righteous people? I know y'all get on Trump, and Trump said, I don't need to ask God to forgive me anything. See, that's self-righteous. See, watch what the word of God says. See, you gotta have some word. You gotta have some word to put on people. And you tell them what's on your mind, people don't reject it, but you tell them some word. People don't like the word of God. You start hitting people back with the scriptures. Start talking scriptures to them. So you gotta know some scriptures. You gotta know some scriptures for these folks. Well, if we say we have no sin, Mr. Trump, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now watch this part now. And if we say we have no sins, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us, or his truth is not in us. See, self-righteous folks don't need the Lord. They don't need their sins forgiven. What about the unbelievers? You got what did I say? You got the devil? You got the self-righteous folks, and you got the unbelievers. All have to deny the word of God. How many here remember when you was an unbeliever? Oh, yeah, you remember. Okay. Seemed like yesterday. 1 John 5:10. Here's the unbeliever. Now, here's the unbeliever denying the Lord. He has to deny the Lord. He has to deny the truth because he has to justify him staying in that unforgiven state. He has to justify why he loves his sin. So the only way an unbeliever going to do, they're going to deny. They're going to reject. They're going to say, I'll call you all alcoholics, crazy stuff, because you got to be a fool to them. He that believeth on the Son of God have witness in himself. He that believeth not God have made himself a liar. Because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. I'm closing. Anybody been reading the newspaper lately? Folks getting out of prison, been falsely accused. Anybody read that? They give them, you get a lot of money. You spend 40 years in jail and you get out of prison, they give you $1 million. I don't know if it's worth it.
No.
I don't know if they tax it or not. You know, you've been 40 years in prison, you come out, you ain't the same. You know, you ain't the man you was when you went in. And you come out of prison 40 years, and they give you $1 million, the town they tax you, you get $600,000. Some people say, hey, that's okay. You know? I don't know. I don't think it would be worth it for me. You know? I've been with Cindy 36 years. That's worth more than $1 million.
Amen.
She hear me? Oh, she ain't hear me. That was my plug. That was my plug for later. Leave me alone, Mary. But here's a man falsely accused of murder, 13 years behind bars. Now y'all stay with me because I'm going somewhere with this. Stay with me, Claire. Here's a guy. He was convicted. He was not only convicted, but he was executed. Okay? And what's how this word say? Posthumously? After he did, after he was dead and electrocuted or executed, they pardoned him. That's pretty rough, ain't it? But listen. Somebody got it. Listen. But when the Lord comes, okay? When the Lord comes to judge, we was just talking about this on Wednesday night. We talking about Pig Meek Markham back in the day, way before some of y'all's time. Here come the judge. Y'all remember that? See, when the judge comes, it says in Psalms 96:13, he said, before the Lord, for he cometh, watch this now, for he cometh to judge the earth, and he shall judge the world, how? With righteousness, and the people with his truth. There ain't gonna be nobody getting bad sentences or being incarcerated wrongly, none of that. When the Lord comes, justice will be served. Justice will be served. Now, I'm going to stop buzzing. I'm just going to stop. I got a lot of stuff. We'll finish it on Wednesday night. Listen, Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. And for some of us, we have to ask God, when we plead to God, God, give me a desire for the truth.
Amen.
I want to learn. I want to know you better. I want to know you better because, see, life is so short. Life is so short. You got to hold on to truth. When we say hold on to God's unchanging hand, you know what we're really singing? Truth. Whenever you talk about Jesus, whenever you sing a song or hear something said about Jesus, you really know what you're really saying? Truth. Jesus is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when you hear truth, you know, nobody can talk truth without Jesus. Amen. Jesus is truth.